The reading this morning is taken from Jonah. So it's Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. And it's on page 928 in the Church Bibles. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Have you any right to be angry?" Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As we come to God's word together this morning, let's pray. O Lord, help us to have open ears, open hearts, open minds to what it is you want to say to us together and individually this morning. Transform us by your great mercy, I pray. For your glory's sake. Amen. So if you've got the Bible open, I'd encourage you to keep it open. If you haven't got it open, I would encourage you to open it up, 928. If you would like something to doodle on or colour in, there are two options. So there's the mercy option or there's the grumpy Jonah option. So I'll leave them on the front seats here. Do come and help yourselves. Where have I put the pencils? Let me put them over there as well. So, we are continuing our summer sermon series on the book of Jonah, a prophet who didn't want to pass on a message from God to his enemies. Jonah wanted God to punish the people of Nineveh, so he didn't want to warn them and give them the opportunity to turn from their evil ways. Instead, he tries to run away from God to Tarshish instead of going to Nineveh. And running away from God doesn't go so well. He finds himself inside a big fish in need of God's grace. God gives Jonah a second chance, the very thing that he doesn't want the people of Nineveh to have. And reluctantly, Jonah heads to Nineveh with God's message. The people of Nineveh respond to Jonah's preaching. The king issues a decree for everybody to call urgently on God, and God relents from the destruction he had threatened. Hooray! But Jonah's not celebrating. He's angry. That's why there's a grumpy Jonah picture at the front here. Why is Jonah angry? Jonah's angry because God, who is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, showed mercy to the people of Nineveh. Jonah is angry because God did what God does because it's in God's nature to do. Jonah's not happy about that. It doesn't matter that Jonah himself had been saved by God's grace and mercy. It doesn't matter that Jonah is a servant of the gracious and compassionate God. Therefore, he doesn't really get a say in the matter. Jonah is angry. He's angry at God. Now, if you were here last week, Rob had three words beginning with R to help us to think about chapter 3. And there's not a YouTube video from last week, so I have to hope that I have remembered them correctly. I think they were respond, repent, and redemption. So you can check those out with Rob when you next see him. Today I've got four words beginning with R as we think about God's mercy. So God's mercy is real, God's mercy is radical, God's mercy can be repulsive, and God's mercy requires repentance. So they're my four R words for us today: real, radical, repulsive, repentance. So firstly, God's mercy is real. There's a difference between knowing something in your head and actually experiencing it. There's nothing wrong with Jonah's head knowledge. The problem is with his heart. Jonah knows that it's in God's nature to be merciful, and his view is that the people of Nineveh are undeserving of mercy. That's why he tries to run away. He doesn't want any part in any mission which might benefit Israel's enemies, the Assyrians. God's heart may be merciful, but Jonah's heart is not. Now, what Jonah knew in his head would happen if the people of Nineveh turned back to God, it's happened. God's mercy is as real as he knew it to be. And he just can't cope. He's so angry, he asked the Lord to take his life. God's mercy is not just a nice idea. It's a reality we can experience, which is the best news ever when we're the people that are in need of mercy, but much more challenging when God asks us to show mercy to others. As I was preparing for today, all sorts of little silly examples really were popping through my head. And one that kept coming back was when I was a student in Cambridge, if I was on my bicycle, I used to be so cross at people driving cars. And then when I was driving a car, I used to be so cross at all the students on their bicycles. I'm sure we can all think of similar kind of examples. And they get at the same kind of, they get at the idea here. Mercy's great. When it's us that needs the mercy. It's not so great when it involves God's mercy being extended to someone that we perhaps don't think deserves it. We might believe God's mercy to be real, but are our hearts mercy shaped? We might like the idea of God's mercy in our heads, of a gracious and compassionate God who's slow to anger and abounding in love. What a great verse, it's in the Psalms. But when we're confronted with the implications of that, are our hearts mercy shaped? So that's my first thought this morning. God's mercy is real. Second thought, God's mercy is radical. God's mercy doesn't fit in with our ideas of deserving and undeserving. The people of Nineveh responded to God, and God responded to them. It's God's right to show mercy. Remember, God did what God does because it's in his nature to do. It's his right to show mercy. It's his nature. Jonah was hoping God would go against his merciful nature when it came to the people of Nineveh. But nothing can stop God from being God. Again, that's good news, but it can also be challenging for us. Nothing can stop God, who is merciful, from being God. Not Jonah and not any of us. God's mercy is radical. We can often default to assuming God is on our side. Particularly, I know when I'm praying, like a default to kind of God's going to want what I want. But God's mercy is way above sides. God's mercy is radical. God's mercy might challenge us. So that's my second thought. God's mercy is radical. Third thought. God's mercy can be repulsive. It challenged Jonah. To Jonah, it felt very wrong that God should show mercy towards people he considered enemies. That felt really wrong to Jonah. He's repulsed by God's mercy. He's preached to Nineveh, and now he's outside the city sulking. He's built himself a little hut and he's just there. Please do help yourself to a grumpy Jonah picture, because he's just, let me get it. Like, he's just there outside the city and he's grumpy. He's gone and done what God told him to do, but he's not happy about it. He prays to God and tells him that this is what he was trying to prevent by fleeing to Tarshish. As though Jonah being grumpy outside the city is more important than the people in the city having the opportunity to receive God's mercy. God's grace and mercy are humbling, and being humbled can be a painful experience. Grace is the giving of what's undeserved, and mercy is the withholding of what's deserved. So by definition, grace and mercy are humbling. They require us to recognize that God is God and we are not. Again, we might like the idea of that, but when we have to be confronted with the reality of that, it can be so much more challenging. Recognizing that God is God and we are not can be painful, because it means letting go of trying to be in control of our own lives, of working our own plans out. It means being open to the fact that God is way above sides, divisions that we that might be important to us or that might be in view for us. God's heart and Jonah's heart were not aligned. God's plan and Jonah's plan were not aligned. God wanted the people of Nineveh to have the opportunity to repent and receive his mercy. Jonah didn't want the people of Nineveh to have this opportunity. He wanted them punished. God's heart and Jonah's heart were not aligned. Now Jonah is confronted with the fact that God's plan worked out and his did not. And we shouldn't be surprised by that. God is God and Jonah is not. But Jonah's, he's grumpy because God did what God does because it's in his nature to do. And God didn't do what Jonah wanted him to do. Jonah is confronted with the fact that God's plan has worked out and his has not. God's will was done and his was not. God's ways prevailed and his did not. And that's humbling. That's humbling. Jonah likely felt like something of a traitor, preaching to his enemies and enabling them to have a second chance, and secretly hoping that they wouldn't respond to that opportunity. God's ways are higher than our ways. However, it's important, I think, to just recognize that God's mercy did require repentance. It required a change of heart, which led to changed actions. God's mercy is freely given, and that's why Jonah's so grumpy. But it's not cheap. God's mercy is freely given, but it is not cheap. God's mercy follows Jonah's warning to the people of Nineveh. Sin is called out, the people turn back, and mercy is shown. Punishment is withheld, and a second chance is given. Notice how God responds to Jonah with the grace and compassion that Jonah is complaining about. Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? God could have just said to Jonah, how dare you sit on a hill sulking? I'm God, you're not. But he doesn't. He says, Jonah, is it right to be angry? And so God responds to Jonah with the grace and compassion that Jonah is so grumpy about. God gently invites Jonah to reflect. And next week, Karen's going to be helping us to, I think about, or helping you, I'm not going to be here next week, to think about how God uses a plant and a worm to help Jonah reflect. So that's what's coming up next week. In Romans chapter 2, Paul writes, the Apostle Paul, So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? God's mercy requires repentance, a change of heart, which leads to a change of actions. And the people of Nineveh, they have a change of heart, which leads to a change of actions. God's kindness, whether that's a word of warning, and sometimes a word of warning can be, if I'm about to step out into the road and there's a car coming in, my friend grabs me and pulls me back, Becca, look, there's a car. A word of warning, a firm word of warning, can be an act of kindness. God's kindness, whether that's a word of warning or a gentle question, Jonah, why are you angry? Do you have a right to be angry? It's not a get out of jail free card. It's intended to lead us to repentance. I think sometimes we can put kind of God's kindness in opposition to God's justice, and it's not like that. God's kindness, the kindness that Jonah's so grumpy about, is intended to lead us to repentance. So God's mercy requires repentance. I've already told you one little anecdote. I'll tell you another one. I find, and I have to say, this happens when I go to Heartlands, that if I'm in the car park looking for a space, and the car that's pulled in behind me gets a space before me because they chose a different road to go up or down, I'm annoyed. If you've tried to park at Heartlands, you might understand my annoyance. Yeah, if I'm the person that's come in behind someone else and I just happen to be in the right place at the right time, I don't think anything of it. Now, that's a very trivial example, and the one I gave you earlier about cycling and driving is also a very trivial example. But hopefully it's making you think about all the times in life when something's, is the expression not in my backyard? Something like that. That kind of idea when it's fine if it's for me, but it's not fine if it's for someone else. That's sort of what's in view here. And we're reminded that there's a wideness in God's mercy. As some of you might know the hymn which begins with that line. The question is, can our hearts rejoice in that wideness and become mercy shaped? We can believe in our heads that God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. But can our hearts become mercy shaped? Because believing that to be true has real life implications. Or do we find ourselves angry at the extent of God's mercy, the very mercy that we ourselves need? So my invitation to us this morning is to pray for a bigger vision of our gracious and compassionate God, whose nature is always to have mercy. God did what God does because it's in his nature to do. A vision, can we pray for a vision that transcends sides? Well, you're deserving and I'm deserving and you're undeserving. Can we pray for a vision that transcends our narrow perspectives and our selfish desires? All Jonah was thinking about was his role in, would he be seen as a kind of traitor because he's given the people of Nineveh the opportunity to have a second chance. God's plans are way above our plans. And God is God and we are not. And nothing that we do can stop God being God. So can we pray for a vision that transcends sides, that transcends our narrow perspectives, that transcends our selfish desires, that our hearts might more closely reflect his heart, that they might become mercy-shaped, that mercy might not just be a nice idea in our heads, but the shape of our hearts. It's not easy. If you'd like to think about this a bit more, I read a book. I can't hold it up because I was going to say read books on audiobook. Do I then read them? Listen to books on audiobook. It's called 'Tis Mercy All by Natalie Williams. So if you'd like to think a bit more about mercy, I do commend that to you. It's very thought-provoking. Amen.